You're listening to One Call Away Podcast. This is Tahi Michelle. If you're anything like me, you have a social media account where you follow so many amazing people who you don't actually know. So I decided to take it upon myself and give these people a call. As a model based in New York City, most of my connections lie within the modeling and fashion industries. So I'll be speaking with photographers, models, makeup artists, and influencers, and delve into topics that we normally wouldn't get to talk about online. We're ditching the DMs and going old school. Our guest today is Lindora, who goes by Lynn. Lynn is signed with Massardo Management in Toronto, Canada, and has been killing it in the modeling world. She's been in many ads and commercials, many of which are for common household products. On this episode, Lynn and I delve into what it means to take your hustle full-time, the vulnerability that comes with acting, and living to work versus working to live. Make sure to find Lynn at Life of Lindora on Instagram. I know we chatted briefly. We met at Philly Fashion Week, which was basically a year ago.
That's crazy to think that was a year ago. It feels like so long ago now. This year has just been such a journey. I feel like I climbed a mountaintop, and now, like, looking back at last year is like looking all the way back to the bottom of that mountain, and you're like, oh, whoa, I was in a very different place.
It's funny because when I met you, I didn't even know who you were. And I felt almost like starstruck. Because you're such a good model, and it's so apparent, like, even in person, just your confidence is everything. And at the time, I was going through a transition in my career choice, what I wanted to do with my life. And I think seeing you, I was like, wow, she has it all figured out.
Wait, I want to say something. Thank you for sharing that. Because actually, right now, recently, I've been really struggling with confidence. And I think I always am, to some extent, to some degree. But it's so funny because I think one of the biggest challenges this year that I've become aware of that I need to work on is that belief in myself. I feel like a lot of other people are rooting for me and can see this amazing thing. And I'm like, I want to see that in myself. Why don't I see that in myself? Why am I so much harder on myself? Yeah. So it's really lovely that you shared that, for one, but also just to be like super real. I look at you and I feel the same way. I'm just like, holy shit, this girl is fire flames. Like, just literally killing every single shoot. Just
slaying. Oh my God, you're going to make me die.
No, seriously, like, I have these folders on my Instagram. I like save things in different categories, like photos that inspire me or like things I want to like reference sometimes. Because, like, I don't know, sometimes before a shoot, I'm just like, I need inspiration. Like, I'm not in the mood. So you're literally all over my saved folders because I'm like, ah, yes, this is the energy I want. Ah, yes, this poses fire. Like, just no.
Well,
I feel the
you.
Same way about you. And ever since we talked, had a real phone conversation, and like really began to get to know each other, I was like, of course we connected. I feel like we're like, there's certain people that I run into in life, and I just feel like they're a kindred spirit. And that's what I saw in you. Like, from the first day I met you, I was like, oh, she's lovely. She's wonderful. Aww. We're going to be best friends. Even if we live in different countries.
Yeah, seriously. I'm glad that you did get to come to Philly Fashion Week. How was that experience for you?
It was great. Honestly, I really had no idea what to expect because I've never, like, outside of Canada, I haven't really done much runway. Like, I haven't done, like, New York Fashion Week or anything like that. So I was like, I wonder what the energy is going to be. I'm always just excited to meet new people and just see what's what, just show up and be like, let's do this. So yeah. It was really exciting. And I just loved, I don't know, people in Philly are different than people here.
How would you say?
Like a very warm welcome. If that makes sense. Even though I don't know how to describe it, actually, because it's not like people here aren't warm and welcoming. I think there's just a certain outgoingness of Americans that Canadians don't have. So like walking into that room and even talking to the hairstylist and the makeup artist, they're all super busy doing their thing. But at the same time, it just felt like a warm welcoming. They care about you, even though you're just like one of a million models that they're dealing with that day. Even meeting you right away, I was just like, oh, energy is just on a different level here. Everyone's automatically a little bit more open, a little bit more quippy, a little bit more honest. I don't know how to describe it. There's not that, like, here when you meet people, when you meet someone for the first time and you have to, I don't know, you're just like playing politeness and niceties and not really digging deep or anything like that. Mm. There's a certain rawness to Americans that I find skips over that level of formality and kind of just gets straight to the point. And I find that endearing. Even though some people don't, some people find it off-putting. For me, I find that endearing.
Yeah.
I'm like, great, we're just connecting on a real level right away. You're just about to tell me the straight up truth about whatever the case might be. And like, I prefer that.
That's so interesting. Maybe I've been taking it for granted just because I live here. But I mean, I recently just moved to New York, and I wouldn't say that it's less welcoming, but I think people are just a little more direct and a little more blunt here. Whereas Philly people, there's a slight bit of trying to be careful and like tiptoe around certain things. But I definitely understand that whole just wanting to be real from the get-go. And I didn't realize that wasn't good. I felt like that was maybe sort of like our generation thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, especially on social media and stuff, like people post about their feelings all the time. And I don't know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it generates real relationships, but at least there's some sort of like expression of like, this is how I feel, take it or leave it.
Yeah, definitely. I think our generation is becoming very good at like talking about our feelings, identifying our feelings, like just like emotional intelligence.
But with that, I think people are trying to navigate like how much to share, how much not to share, especially in a context where what they say matters and it could affect their job, it could affect their professional relationships. How have you gone about navigating that for yourself?
I just feel like what's meant for me is for me. That's also something I learned from my previous ex, which was like one of the best quotes he ever told me. What God has for you is for you. So in my mind, it negates that fear because I'm like, if this is who I am and I'm remaining true to my authentic self of what I want to express at this point in time, then, you know, that's all I can really do. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's nothing I could really say that would lose me a job that I'd be like, for example, like I post a lot about fashion and fast fashion. And I'm just like, you know what, at the end of the day, if no fast fashion brand ever wants to book me because I feel this way, so be it. It wasn't meant for me. Like, I'm not going to pretend not to see the things I see and not to know about the things I know about.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like if other people are not happy with that and they want to get at me for it, then feel free, come through. If I stay true to myself, that's all I really need in life. And I'm fortunate to have a management team that's behind me on that. A lot of models I know don't have that. They have to very much cater their social media to the model and clientele, and that's basically it. Whereas my team is like, be you, be free. We love it. And it's your body and it's your words and it's your what. They're just like, it's you, do you.
Oh, I'm so glad you have that. That's so amazing.
I honestly love my management team, and shout out Chris. He's my manager and he's like literally a wonderful human, like the biggest support, like one of my biggest support systems in my life.
You're with them.
So Christopher Massardo is my mother agent. And then in Toronto, I'm with Sherida, in Montreal with Scoop, and in New York with True. But I'm still working out that visa process, which kind of got delayed by COVID. So hopefully soon I'll be a New York girl and we can have these conversations over tea for real.
Wow, Lynn, I'm so excited. Wow, new chapters to come.
Honestly, exciting.
I know right now you're doing a lot of agency work. I saw your Febreze commercial. Congrats on that. I saw your Always. I literally was watching Netflix and your Always commercial came up and I was like, oh my God, like my heart stopped. I was like,
I didn't even know Netflix had ads. What?
Yeah. So you've been doing a lot of commercial works and like big stuff. So it's hard for me to imagine like how you started out when you're doing these huge jobs. You started out just like everyone else.
Definitely. When I first started, I didn't even have an agent. And I was networking, working with different photographers, some in hindsight that I shouldn't have worked with, how the story goes. It's like when you don't know anything about the industry and you're trying to navigate it on your own, it's like a little bit daunting. I was never really scared or like in a dangerous position or anything like that, but it's just, I really had no idea what I was doing. Like I look back now and I'm like, yeah, I had no idea, no clue. I found an agency in like summer of 2016. They weren't a good agency, however, I didn't know that at the time. But still, like that being said, that didn't seem to stop me, even though my agent at the time was terrible. I still worked and gained experience and more confidence. And then when I went to Cape Town in 2017, I realized like what a real agency does and looks like and how they operate. And I was like, oh, okay, good to know. Went back, fired my agency. And then eventually 6 months later, found the management that I'm with now.
It's funny imagining you hustling like that because I don't think many people realize that when you start out, it's very ratchet. You're trying to prove yourself, and you're like posing in front of like a camera and like held by a person you don't even know. And it's very scrappy.
Yeah.
I don't know. How old were you when you started modeling?
I was like 24, 23.
And a lot of models start out when they're super young, like 16, yeah. 15. I can't even imagine having to do what I did at 15 or 16 on my own.
I think the thing is, if we truly did start at 15 or 16, we probably wouldn't have done the same things. At least I'll speak for me personally. Like my parents wouldn't have let me do anything because I started when I was older. I was still living with them, but I had moved out for uni. Even living with them, they just let me do my thing and assumed that I knew what I was doing and I would figure it out. My dad was still obviously trying to be like, you should have a real job, but they didn't have the involvement that I think if I was 15 or 16 and they had been okay with me doing it, I definitely would have right away had a good agency because they would have had to meet with this agency. So they would have been able to vet certain things for me and they just would have, I don't know, I feel like starting when you're younger, you have the added benefit of parents who would have been super on it and making sure that everything was legit and everything was.
That second eye, for sure.
That second eye. So I probably would have just had an agency. I probably wouldn't have been hustling for myself and doing random creatives because they wouldn't have been okay with that. My parents would have been like, who's this photographer? No, you're not going to go there. Like, you know what I mean?
I know.
Did this come through your agency? No, you're not doing it. So I just feel like there's a little bit less hustle that happens if you start when you're younger, on your part at least, like as a model. I think more of it's just legit from the rip.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. And it's funny, when I was younger, I was a child model and my parents never really instilled in me that it was a real job. It was more just, you got lucky, girl, like you got the genes and now you're gonna help us pay mortgages. And then once you're done, you're gonna go back and study for college and you're going to move on with your life. So they pulled me out of my modeling agency when I was pretty young, and I never really looked back on it since.
Yeah.
But you're right. If I had continued down that path, I would have just stayed on more legitimate agency curated jobs and things like that. But definitely the hustle for me having to go back into modeling when I was in my 20s is it was a very formative experience, just like building tough skin and understanding that no one's going to protect me but myself. And being signed to an agency was almost like a relief because I was like, oh, I don't have to do this on my own anymore. It felt very comforting.
For sure. I totally resonate with you on that one. It was just like, oh, also less work.
Yeah. But would you have preferred doing it the other way? Starting like with your parents, just handling everything for you?
No, I don't think so. I think like I started when I started because I was just like, okay, so I don't want to have a desk job. I don't want to go to uni right now, go to do a master's or anything. So what do I want to spend my time doing?
Yeah.
And modeling was one of those things that I was like, I've always wanted to try it. And I don't want to look back and be like, what if I had tried? You know what I mean? So it came out of this place of being like, I have no idea if I can do this, if I'm going to be good at it, if it's even going to can be a career. I don't even think I knew it could be a career at that time. How do you become a supermodel at the age of 20 something? You don't. But like, just that's the answer. You just don't. So I was just like totally unsure of myself. But the journey that started from there of just like understanding that I could make choices about my life, like I could just choose what makes me happy, regardless of if it's the norm or if it's like I'll figure it out as I go, and like having the confidence to know that like I can survive and still be happy and not compromise my happiness was a really key lesson for me.
I remember the last time on our FaceTime call during quarantine, I was like, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I act and model. And I was like, full time? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, it didn't even occur to me that you could be full time. That's amazing. And now, like, here we are maybe 6 months later and I'm full time.
Right, girl. I told you.
That's so crazy.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
But
I'm so happy for you. I'm so here for you. Like every step of the way, I'm just like in your corner because I love it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, to say that because I just thought it was hilarious, like thinking back on that moment where I was in like complete, whoa, like that's possible. Like you could just make a living off of doing this.
Yeah. The decision to go full time was a little bit, I feel like I went full time once I quit my job at the bank. That was me letting go of stability. I was like, okay, the bank is stable. It's paychecks every 2 weeks. It's super stable. And as soon as I quit, that was the end of stability for me. But for a year and a half, I still did like random side jobs. I'd still be doing promo work or events, or I eventually picked up a restaurant job in the summertime. By the time that I made the decision to literally just never do a side thing again, I could feel that it would be fine. I don't know how to describe it. But it was just like, if you just open your schedule, like if you stop having to try and schedule around things, or even just having the worry of something conflicting because you booked a side thing just to have extra cash, but now you're like, oh, but what if I book this other thing? Like all of that. If you just let go of all of that, the universe will take care of the rest. Your space will open up for opportunities that you can't even imagine. So I don't know, it was a slow process of me finally making the decision to just become full-time. But by the time I did, I was so ready. I was just like, I do not ever want to have to do a side thing again. Especially times like these, like COVID came and just rocked my world. And I was like, we'll see if I can make this work. But if there comes a time where I'm ever like, well, I need to pay my bills, obviously I'm going to do whatever I need to do to pay my bills. Because like acting and modeling, it's uncertain. There's never a guarantee that you will make money. You always have to be prepared to like have something in your back pocket where you're like, okay, cool, but I can do this instead.
Yeah. I come from a very immigrant family mindset where one, modeling is not a job. And two, if you go like 3 consecutive days without working, then you're doing something wrong because you could be making extra cash.
Yeah.
Now, like here I am sitting here waiting for my next booking, but it's okay because I know I'm going to be okay. Logically, I know that. But there is still that like anxious part of me that's like, you should probably be a nanny or something. You should probably do this and that during your free time. And honestly, I could, but I choose not to right now because it's a very experience for me that I haven't had before where I have the luxury to sit down and explore things that I want to do in the creative world besides modeling. I am very interested in production work. I'm very into these creative projects that I feel like I haven't seen people do in my circle. Having that luxury to just focus on those things without distraction is just, it's very valuable to me. And we create our priorities based off of what's worth it for us personally.
So in agreement with you on that. And I think actually one of the biggest blessings about what we do is that even though the schedule is unpredictable, the pay is unpredictable, all of it fluctuates, we have this time that we can invest into ourselves that other people, I don't know if they don't have it necessarily, but might not feel like they have. Every day is a day to work on myself. Even when I'm not working on set, when I'm not booking a job, between doing auditions or self-tapes or even working out and taking care of my health or going outside, I see everything as just like modeling and acting for me is like the biggest challenge to step into myself and really embrace who that person is. That's the way I see my job.
It's interesting, like I don't act, but I got an audition for an acting role last night and I passed it up because I didn't feel like I was the right fit for it. I didn't feel comfortable doing the audition. I just don't feel comfortable acting because it's a form of self-expression and just being vulnerable in a way that I don't think I've grown into yet. And it almost makes me feel like painfully uncomfortable.
I think it's also painfully terrifying for me too. To be quite honest, I don't know. I've taken a few acting classes too. And every time I learn where my blocks are, just like you said, it's like this act of extreme vulnerability. And it's just every time I do something, I become aware of another barrier, like another wall that I have. And I'm like, why is this there? Can you please just come down?
You become so self-aware. Step into
this role and fully just feel this moment, just be in the present moment and not think about other things. But I think that's why I love it. I'm a perfectionist. I consider it like one of my less good traits because it used to prevent me from doing things. I guess I'm just getting to the point in my life now where I'm like, I don't want that to prevent me from doing anything anymore. Just because I think I didn't nail this audition or I didn't nail this character or like I'm not the best actor or whatever. Why should that stop me from doing it when I love doing it? Like, I love putting myself in those situations and just getting over the nerves and being like, I'm going to do it anyway. Like, it brings me so much joy. Same with singing. So I have a vocal coach now who's literally like, our goal is not even to make me a good singer. It's literally just to get me to use my voice out loud and not be afraid of it. So it's just, it's definitely confronting, like I said.
I would have never guessed that you struggled with these things. Because just when you're in front of the camera, you just exude a certain confidence that it's just very convincing that you're totally 100% okay.
Love it.
That's the goal. I think
the more I do it, the more I do get comfortable with certain things. Like commercials now, I don't tend to get nervous for, but it's more so like when I get auditions for actual roles with dramatic things happening. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, be in the moment, be in the moment. I did a kids TV show, like a small role in a kids TV show in like October. And I was literally nervous the entire day. I definitely had a little bit of imposter syndrome. Oh my gosh, these people are all like seasoned actors and I'm just here like showing up like, hey. It's called Odd Squad. It's this, we have a kids channel. I don't know, you guys don't have it in the States, but you probably have something equivalent. And so it's this there are 10 minute episodes and the storyline is these kids are like detectives and all of the adults in the show are the villains. So it's like educational, like there's like math thrown in there and like different learning things, but it was super fun and the kids are super professional. It's just, it was amazing. But I definitely had a moment of, oh my God, is this really happening? Am I really here?
Wow. So you got to play a villain?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so much fun. That's like the dream.
It was literally, that's why I was so like, I was so excited.
Wow. Congratulations on that. That's so much fun. Thank you. So on that same note, do you have anything fun coming up? Anything cool in terms of modeling and acting that you're excited to reveal?
Let me see. Not really. I feel like I'm excited to get my visa, like to actually like just put in the work and finish that application.
I feel very excited to watch you along this journey because this past year has been very crazy for everybody, but you've been just like literally every month you seem to be just one-upping yourself. It's very inspiring to watch.
Oh, thank you. I just I'm rolling with it and just feeling very grateful to be surrounded by the people I'm surrounded by and to have the opportunity to work throughout a pandemic. So it's just been like every day I'm just like, wow, thank you for this.
How have you been coping with the pandemic?
Honestly, I gained a new understanding that burnout is real and slowing down is okay. Mm-hmm. I think before quarantine happened, I didn't realize, like until you really have time off, you don't realize how much you can gain from having time off, if that makes sense. I used to think that the week I would take for Christmas was enough, or weeks I would take to go see my boyfriend were enough. But realistically, like having that 2 months or 3 months where literally nothing was happening and all you could do was whatever it is you wanted to fill your day with. That was such a blessing for me to realize that, oh my gosh, I need 9 hours of sleep. I had never been providing myself 9 hours of sleep. And then during quarantine, I realized, oh, my body operates very well on 9 hours of sleep and very poorly underneath that. Like literally it trickles into every aspect of my day. I don't feel like I'm doing well on callbacks and shoots and things, but also even just my emotions. Like I don't regulate myself emotionally very well. When I'm low energy, I just feel less happy, and all of it just because of sleep, literally. So that was a realization that I had that was amazing. Also just, there's so many things that I can practice, and not for the sake of getting anywhere, but like that I can practice to just practice. Let me draw something. Let me paint something. Let me learn to play guitar. Let me go outside. Let me sit here and read. Like whatever the case might be, there were so many things that I found that I had the time to do that I was just like mostly just full of joy. I was just like, this is great. It wasn't stressful for me in the same way that I think it could have been. And I think that's also due to the fact that financially the government was giving us money. And also my sister was like, yo, if you can't pay rent right now, it's fine. Pay me back later. And I was like, amazing. So having that financial worry taken care of just allowed me to not really stress about the rest.
Yeah. I just shared this post that I saw on Instagram where this therapist tweeted, as a therapist, I would say therapy is very helpful, but what I've realized is that most people just need more money.
Yes. And yes, that
it's so crazy, like how financial stress could really affect your mood and affect your motivation to just keep going and explore and have fun. Definitely, this pandemic has been a different experience for everybody, depending on all of our situations. And for me, I feel like before the pandemic, there was just so much noise. And I was just saying yes to everything. I was networking with everyone. And now I almost like feel I've developed a sort of wisdom to know when to say yes and when to say no and how to value my time.
I love that. That makes so much sense. I just got tingles. Ooh, how to value my time. And I honestly, to be fair, I really think that the world could use a permanent slowdown. Like, I'm not saying we need a lockdown, but I really do feel like we, as North Americans, the lifestyle choices that a lot of us make are purely because we feel like we need to be working all the time. And that's just because that's the way society set up. The fact that like people who have regular jobs only have 2, 3, maybe 5 weeks of vacation if they're lucky. And that to me is actually insane. Like when I think about what insanity looks like, I'm like, oh, what we do to ourselves and the standards we set for ourselves.
And that is insanity.
That's actually insanity. That is insane. Like, we've valued and prioritized making money over all else. And we've made life very expensive to perpetuate that cycle of needing to make so much money and work all the time so we can continue to live. But I'm just like, y'all, we need to rethink our priorities, put in some universal basic income, give people some time for themselves to actually live. Like, live and understand what that means. If you feel like you constantly have to work and, I don't know, one up the next person to keep being successful, you can miss out on a lot of life.
So actually, my worst job, the job I hated the most, was being a line cook. I was a pastry line cook at Max Brenner, which is like a chocolate themed restaurant, and it's a chain, but I remember it being such a hard job, even for the role that I was in, but I was stationed all the way across the room from the dishwasher. And the dishwasher was like this old man who, he's probably almost 70. And he's been working there for a few years, but he's really good at his job. And they keep trying to hire more people, but they aren't really up to par. So he's ending up having to take on all these extra hours. And I remember one day going up to him and talking to him, trying to help him because he had sliced his arm with a knife by accident that was like in the wrong dish bin. So we were like trying to clean that up. And he still had so much work to do. And it was 1 a.m. and I was about to leave. And I just felt so bad. And I was like, how long are you going to stay here? And he was like, oh yeah, I'll be done in an hour. Today's my birthday. So I'm going to go home and have like, I was like, oh my God. It was such a sad experience for me. And that is exactly what I think about when I like think about just how life could just pass us by with literally just working.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm like, why did we do this to ourselves?
Yeah.
Not to put the blame on the individuals who are trying to make a living for themselves, like not in that sense, but just how have we allowed laws and regulations and corporations to create this society that we live in that doesn't give us the right to essentially enjoy our lives? It's so interesting. We should probably fix this.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't even question it. I haven't really even questioned it up until this conversation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This just reminded me. There was something I wanted to say when you said about how, like, when you first found out that I was full time and you're like, wow, I had never even like imagined that as a possibility. It's so powerful, the power of imagination. Oh my gosh. I think also because of quarantine and people are like talking about defunding the police. People are talking about like, it was like the collapse of everything where you suddenly realize there's all these systems that we live in that do not work. Like they're not good. Mm-hmm. They're really not good. And now it's just, I can see that they're not good. But can I imagine different? Because realistically, until we actually can imagine something different, we won't be able to get there. Like we can talk about our problems all day long and say, this needs to change. And like, this needs to stop. And this corporation needs to stop being an asshole. But until we re-envision a different way that society could work, we're not going to move forward. And I think I realized it when having a conversation, because my dad was like, okay, but what does defund the police mean? And then who's going to look out for safety and all this stuff? And I was just like, Dad, use your imagination. Think about it. Let's have an imagination session and like really think about what that could look like, how we could all live and coexist with one another. It could be like the most radical, crazy things that you think are not even possible. You don't even think that's possible.
Yeah.
But like until you picture that, you can't make it a reality, which is so interesting to me to realize.
Oh my God, totally. Really, now looking back on all of these years, I'm, you know, 26 now. The only things that have actually led to significant, really meaningful life changes for me have been a result of imagination and leaning into the dream and leaning into the, oh, what if this is possible, you know?
I love that.
Well, it sounds like you're having a very well-rounded, very fulfilling life. And I'm so happy for you. It warms my heart just to be a witness to it. And I hope you know that it does inspire so many people. Just the fact that you're being you, and I'm sure it's hard, the day-to-day life, but you're doing amazing. And I'm always here to chat.
Thank you. Also, like, this has helped me process my breakup a little more. And I feel like I'm at the stage of acceptance. This is going very quickly. This conversation has literally reminded me, like, ah, yes, the universe will take care of it. You just need to keep putting out whatever it is that is truly authentically you. And I did that in this relationship, so I have no regrets there. And I will continue to do that outside of this relationship. So it's just, what am I wallowing for? End of the day.
I do think that people are put in your life for a reason, whether temporarily or long term. I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, and one of her songs in her brand new album, Evermore, her song says, oh, it's called Happiness. And basically it's like talking about how there was happiness when I was with you, and there is happiness right now without you, and there will be happiness moving forward without you and with someone else. And all of it is happiness, but it's a different kind, but they're all good. Yeah. They are good for you at the time.
I love that. And I think it's hilarious that you just brought up that album, because he was literally like, I want to listen to this with you. I'm not going to listen to it yet.
You can listen to it with me. I literally, my roommates probably hate me because I'm always listening to it.
Now we're talking.
But yeah, my heart goes out to you, and I hope we can chat again soon.
Definitely. I feel like we need to have the real raw about our relationships. I feel like we could go on for days between the two of us. I feel like we've got some great stories.
I'm so excited too, because honestly, I have not been having any relationship talk, just because I've been like, I think my whole early 20s has been about relationships, and I took it upon myself to not talk about it for this past year.
Sure, you need a break.
But I'm ready for some girl talk, so hit me up whenever.
Love it. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Have a nice day, Lynn.
You too.
Bye.
You've just listened to One Call Away Podcast, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and most other major podcasting platforms. If you enjoyed this episode, hit that follow button to hear more from our next guests. We'll be chatting with various personalities in the fashion and modeling industries locally in New York City, cross-country, and even abroad. The only common denominator, I only truly know them through socials. Find me, Tahi, at Tahi Michelle on Instagram or tahimichelle.com.